John chapter 6, verses 41 all the way to the end, 41 through 71. This is the reading of God's word. Therefore the Jews were grumbling about him because he said, I am the bread that came down out of heaven. They were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down out of heaven? Jesus answered and said to them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has sent the Father, seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Then the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is the true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogues, and he taught in Capernaum. Therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, does this cause you to stumble? What then if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life, and flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life, but there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who it was that would betray him. And he was saying, for this reason I have said to you, that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So Jesus said to the 12, you do not want to go away also, do you? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Jesus answered them, did I myself not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil? Now he meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this precious time hearing of your word. We pray that you will grant us an ear to hear. Unless your Spirit works in us and cause us to hear your word and believe your word and obey your word, all will be in vain. But Father, we are your people. You are our God. Bless us that we may hear your word and believe and obey to bring glory and honor to you. And Father, we pray that as we hear your word, as you promised, that our faith will grow and that we will be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us know you more and more as we understand and believe your word more and more. Bless us, God, and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We continue our study in John chapter 6. As you know, when you read the first portion of this chapter, we see a large crowd following Jesus Christ. Now here in this chapter, we could divide all these people who come out in this chapter into three groups. And that's what we are going to do, divide these people into three groups. The first group is the crowd in general, Jews, who followed Jesus Christ here. And the second group is the disciples in verse 66. Now here you need to be careful because the disciples here does not refer to 12 disciples, as you could see as you read this chapter. They are what we might call self-claimed disciples. You know, they say to everybody, hey, I'm disciple of Christ. I follow Christ. He's my Lord, you know. And third group is 12 disciples. 11 of them are true believers, and you know, the one betrays Jesus. Now these three groups, these are not people that who have nothing to do with Christ, meaning that in today's language, these are the people who come to church, all of them. They follow Jesus. That's how this chapter begins. All these people follow Jesus. They come to church and they hear Jesus' word. But there are these three groups. And we're not just talking about people who belong to the world and who don't even come to church, don't even follow Jesus. See, those people are completely excluded here. And that is first thing you need to remind yourself as we do this, because these people, they do come to church. They follow Christ, whether they are really following Christ or not. That's something we need to see later. So let us then look at what is happening in this chapter in their perspectives. Perspectives of these three groups. The first group, the crowd, the Jews. If you read the verse 2 of this chapter, a large crowd followed him. So again, remember, these people are following Christ. They come to church. Now these follow Jesus Christ because, Bible tells us, that they saw the signs which he was performing on those who were sick. Jesus were healing these sick people. And they saw that. And whatever or however their understanding of it, it draws them to Jesus. They come to church. As you know, these Jews eagerly waited for the Messiah. All the Israelites, they were waiting for the Messiah for wrong reasons, but they were waiting for the Messiah. They believe when the Messiah comes, they will be free from the oppression of Roman soldiers. when the Messiah comes, they will be able to finally rule the world and live very well in this world. They ask themselves, is he the Messiah? Is Jesus the Messiah? They wanted to believe that. Because their understanding was that when Messiah comes, finally they're going to rule the world. They're going to have to possess the world. So they actually wanted to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And there happens an event which increased their hope that Jesus is the Messiah whom they were waiting for. The feeding of the 5,000 people. A child had 5 barley loaves of bread and 2 fish. And with them, Jesus fed 5,000 people. And that 5,000 is only counting the male adults. And when they saw this, and because they are able to recognize everything only according to the flesh, only according to the patterns of this world, because their bellies were filled with the loaves, they said to themselves, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. Finally, he came. He is the Messiah, they said to themselves. Now truly there is no need for us to worry about what to eat of this world. Let us make him our king. He is going to give us what we want. He will give us all we want in this world. But something strange thing happens. Jesus flees. He runs away. And these people are puzzled. Where is he? And they cannot understand Jesus. And they were searching for him. They cannot find him. You know, they genuinely want him to be their king. They are ready to follow Jesus. But Jesus scolds them, questioning their motives. Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me because you ate of the loaves and your stomachs were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes. And you know, they really wanted to do God's work also, even though they really do not understand what that was. What shall we do so that we may work the works of God? They asked Jesus. Jesus said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. They do not understand what Jesus is saying. So they say to Jesus, what then you do for a sign so that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? We want to believe you, but show us something. Show us a sign. This sinful world wants signs. But Jesus has only one sign to give, the sign of Jonah, which points to his death and resurrection. But that kind of sign the world doesn't want. Show us something, Jesus. Well, in case you don't understand what we're asking, let us give you example on what you might show us. Jesus, long ago in the wilderness, Moses gave our fathers manna. Every day, the heavenly food came down from heaven. Give us something like that. Then we will certainly believe you. We will certainly follow you. Like Moses, give us food in this world. Give us the food of this world. Make me rich. I'll follow you. Make me healthy. I will believe you. Let me go to good college. I will certainly follow you. Who will follow you? Who will make you our king? We'll serve you. But Jesus speaks the things that they just don't understand. Verse 32. Truly, truly, I say to you, this is not Moses. It is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Bread that gives life? They did not understand what Jesus was saying, but they think it must be good bread. Give us this bread, Jesus. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. What? What are you talking about? What is he saying? And more strange teachings from Jesus. You have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And verse 40 says, for this reason, the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. What is this? It's very simple, Jesus Christ. You know what we want. Just make us rich, make us healthy, then everything will be okay. What are you talking about, this eternal life? And that somehow that only the Father grants those people can come to me? We are the Jews. We are the people of God. What is this about everyone who believes in him will come to him? We are already God's people. And Jesus keeps saying, but you don't believe. We do believe. What are you talking about, Jesus? The promises of God are for us. Now they started to grumble, just like their fathers of the Old Testament, just like their fathers in the wilderness, they started to grumble. Verse 42, they were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down out of heaven? Do not grumble, verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Very strange indeed. Strange teaching. Eat flesh? What are you talking about, Jesus? Verse 52, Then the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Eating flesh, this is against the law, against the Old Testament law. It is against our law, verse 53. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is the true food, and my blood is the true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread which came out of the heaven. Not as the fathers ate and died, he who eats this bread will live forever. Eat flesh and drink blood. This is a serious sin according to their law, the Old Testament law. And Jesus talks about eternal life. To these people, Jesus talks nonsense. And that's what happens even in the church. So many people come to church, but you start talking the truth, and so many people will say, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? I don't understand this. They are not interested in the things that Jesus is offering. They don't want what Jesus is offering. Because all they are interested is in this world. The worldly things. That's all they care about. So obviously, whatever Jesus says, goes over their head. What are you talking about? They wanted Jesus, they wanted Messiah who would and could give them this world. They started to grumble and they started to think to themselves, maybe he's not the Messiah. Well, let us go back home. Man, we just wasted all our time. They leave. They no longer follow Jesus. Now, that's one group, crowd. Now, the disciples, in quotes. Not the 12 disciples, but self-acclaiming disciples. These people who are so eager to let them know that they love Christ. See, we live for him. We are the leaders. You know, you see these kind of people, especially when you go to your college. You know, they don't know what the Bible is speaking of, but man, they're just gung-ho for Christ. These disciples, self-claimed disciples, they are as confused as the rest of the crowd. But they are more serious. Oh yes, they are much more serious. They follow Jesus faithfully as far as they understand, as far as they are concerned. They told about Jesus to everyone they meet. Jesus, please do not say those strange things. They are embarrassed for Jesus. And they're looking what is going on. Because Jesus was saying all these things, people start to grumble. They didn't like what Jesus was saying. And they started to go away. They're embarrassed for Jesus. Stop, Jesus. Don't say these things. These disciples, they truly devoted themselves to Jesus and his cause. But they cannot believe that Jesus treats them the same as the rest of the crowd. How can he say that we do not believe? How can he say that? Here we are, we are so devoted to him, and we are for his cause. And he treats us just like everybody. You don't believe, he says. He even forsook us one time after the feeding the people, but now he talks these very strange things. How can he treat us just like the other crowd? He should show us a sign to prove to us that he is the Messiah and receive us as his true followers. But what is going on here? We have invested so much in him, and now he is embarrassing us. Drink his blood and eat his flesh. He wants to start a cult. He talks about death and he talks about eternal life. What is he saying? No one can come to him unless it has been granted that person from the Father. We are already the people of God. What is he talking about? If he is truly the Messiah, then surely he will recognize our good deeds. He would say to us, well done, and give us our rewards. Because I live for this cause. But why is he continuing to speak strange things? How can we believe this nonsense? Verse 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when disciples, you see, these devoted ones, many of his disciples, when they heard what Jesus had said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? You know that word difficult? It could be translated as offensive. This is an offensive statement. Who could listen to this? Jesus becomes the stumbling block to them. They wonder, why does he have to do this to drive everyone away? Does he not see how good of opportunity this is? Look at how many people gather. You know, they're all willing to follow Christ. They say to Jesus, be our king. And Jesus flees, and Jesus now says all these strange things. He doesn't understand that how good of opportunity to succeed in his ministry. Why does he drive them away? Why he deliberately drives them away? What is going on? Maybe he is not the Messiah. Let us go back. We really thought the Messianic kingdom would begin with him. We really thought that now we could live well. We really thought that now we could show our power to the world. We really thought we could rule the world now. But oh well, we wasted our time. And they left. They all leave. Now, brothers and sisters, this is very, very important. As they leave. Now, when you read this chapter, it's pretty clear that everybody left except 12. So he says to 12, are you going to go too? What is Jesus doing? Isn't church's job gathering people rather than drive these people away? Man, all he had to do was, okay, he could teach this, but all he had to do was, but I will also give you worldly things. I will make you a little bit more healthy. All he had to do is say those things and they would not go. They would stay. Man, they were ready to follow him. Be our king, they said. What is Jesus doing? See, Jesus should have attended those seminars for pastors. You know, how to do a successful ministry. What is Jesus doing? And as they go, he doesn't even stop them. He doesn't even stop them. As they leave church, he just let them go. He could have said, wait. Don't go. I'll change my message a little bit. Don't go. Please don't go. We need your offerings, you know. Please don't go. I'll water it down a little bit. I'll make it shorter. You know, I heard somewhere that optimal time of sermon is 22 minutes. See, after 22 minutes, people get really tired. They don't want to focus anymore. So if you want to have a successful ministry, let your sermon be 22 minutes, no longer. Jesus should attend those seminars. He doesn't get it. He lets them go. He doesn't change his message. Yeah, but Jesus, say in a way that we could understand. You're talking nonsense. You know, make it simple so that we could understand. Jesus, what? You don't know these things? But Jesus said, if Father grants you to understand, you will understand. Father grants you to come to me, you will come to me. You know, I'm not talking about just making sermons so hard, but using the biblical language, your Father speaks to you, and his sons will understand. I'm speaking to God's people, his sons. I'm not preaching to the world. I'm not. Of course we are to go out and spread the good news everywhere we go. But only his sons will understand and believe and come to Christ. We don't water it down. We don't change the message so the world can love it. We don't. And they go, then they go. We let them go. Because what they want, we cannot offer. And what we offer, they don't want. Only thing we have, brothers and sisters, is Jesus Christ. And if they don't want Jesus Christ, then we have nothing to give to them. Gold and silver, I have none. But what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Walk, he says on that passage. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive the eternal salvation. That's all we have to offer. Some of today's churchgoers, they believe that Jesus will give them this world. Jesus will make them rich, they believe. Jesus will make them healthy, they believe. All their children will go to good colleges. They marry a good husband, good wife, and the marriage life will have no problems. Their business will thrive, and they will be acknowledged by the world. They will be famous. They will whatever, whatever. How about Jesus Christ? He did not have a place to lay his head in this world. When he died on the cross, even his clothes were taken away. Life full of sufferings and persecutions, captured and died on the cross for us, but resurrected into heavenly glory. He invites you to participate in his life. If those churchgoers today understand what Jesus is really, really telling them, would they still come to church? Are you going to go also? The true disciples, verse 66. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So Jesus said to the 12, "You do not want to go away also, do you?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." You know, Peter, not going away. What was his reason not going away? What was his reason not leaving the church? Oh, because this church has a good pastor? Oh, because this church has many, many rich elders and who cares for you? Or is it because this church is so fun? This church has my peers, you know, I want to date somebody, but, you know, what was the reason that Peter would not leave? You have the word of eternal life. The word. Do you understand, brothers and sisters, what our religion is all about? You are the true disciples. You are the ones who guess it. Where can we go? Except to Jesus Christ. And what do we want to hear? Except the eternal word of life. Lord, to whom shall we go? How about you? How about you? Look at the table today. He prepared a table for you. And we see two elements. The wine pointing to his blood. The bread pointing to his body. This is the only way for you to have eternal life. You have to eat of his flesh. And you have to drink of his blood. And it's metaphor. It's not, you're not actually, you know, eating and drinking his blood. You believe what he has done for you. And with faith that he gives you, you are now being united to him. You accept all that he has said in his Bible. Jesus is offering his body and his blood to you. That's the only thing he is offering to you. Because that's the only way we could receive eternal life. Eternal life, not life in this world, but life in heaven. He is offering only that to you, himself and his kingdom. Silver and gold this world, no. but eternal life in heaven with God. And he asks you, this is only thing that I have for you. Do you not want to go away also, do you? Since this is only thing that I could offer you, do you want to go away also? Or just like the true disciples in our passage, where should we go? You have the word of eternal life. Where can we go? There is no place in this world for us. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. Let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Let us come to him in faith and be certain that your sins have been forgiven and you have the eternal life in him. Come and receive him. He is the only thing that our religion, true religion, Christianity, is offering to his people. Jesus Christ, and if you do not want him, we have nothing to give you. Nothing else. But if you want him, he does give himself to you. And in him, you have eternal life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, that you are our God and we are your people. And we follow you and we are your people, you are our King. Not because we understand that you will give us this world. No, that is not why we follow you. But we follow you because we are yours. And we have eternal life in you. That you are our God. You are our master. You are our owner. Our life is about bringing glory and honor to you. Oh, Father, as you give us yourself, we give ourselves to you. Oh, Father, we pray that you will bless all of us who are now coming to your table. Bless us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.